Welcome to the Love Positivism podcast. I'm Shireen Oberg, and I'm a yoga teacher and author devoted to the path of healing and heart-based living. And I want to help you to step into what you truly are and to your highest potential. On this podcast, I share with you tools and insights to help you move ever forward on your spiritual and healing path. With guests from all over the world, from different wisdom traditions, I wish to create a web of loving energy that permeates the whole world to create more love and peace. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube for more guidance and love. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm very excited to talk to a sister author of mine, Hema Haworth. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to talk. I mean, we've followed each other for a long time, and we met both as Hay House authors in England, and it's been so amazing to just follow your work and see everything that you're creating. So I'm very excited to talk today, and we're going to get into who you are, your work, astrology, and also the upcoming Virgo season, which we felt like tapping into today. So maybe for those who are listening who haven't seen your work, if you can share who you are and what you do.
So my name's Hema Haworth, as you brilliantly introduced, correct pronunciation. And I'm the author of a book published by Hay House called A Year of Mystical Thinking. And that is a book which is all about a year that I discovered or rediscovered a different mystical or spiritual practice every month in a bid to make my life better. I'd basically had like a really bad year. I think we've all had one of those at some point. And yeah, I wanted to try and claw things back, make my life feel a bit more magical. And so I set off on a mystical adventure, a month by month mystical adventure, with the key part being pretty much from the comfort of my own home, because as much as I would have loved to go off on a sort of solo voyage of discovery in Bali or India or somewhere beautiful and sunny with a beach, I have a job, I have two kids, I had to find a way to find magic where I already was. And that's something that's really important to me, that, you know, is a thread that runs through my work, is this idea that you don't have to wait to go on a retreat, you don't have to change everything, that there are ways for all of us to find a bit more magic in the lives we already inhabit.
That is really, really true. And because as long as we're like, of course, it helps to be in nature, and you always have nature somewhere around you and all of that. It's so important to not externalize the process, because it can easily be that we attach to physical things like taking a trip or being in a specific place or having specific things, because it's a way of taking something abstract to make it more like tangible. But it's actually deflecting the focus and the internal work when we're constantly outsourcing the thing. So I think that's so beautiful. And I would really recommend people to read the book or listen to it also in the app. And what have you been working on since then? I mean, you also work with astrology. So yeah.
So I write the horoscopes. I've got a horoscope column for Glamour magazine here in the UK, which I absolutely love writing. It's basically my favorite. So I've been a journalist for a long time before I kind of became this like mystical writer, astrologer. But yeah, it's my fave writing job ever, is writing the horoscopes for Glamour. And then I also have a new book, which should be out by the time this podcast is out, which is called The Astrology Almanac. And if anyone is actually watching it on the video, there it is. It's a beautiful illustrated guide to to the astrology of 2024, and I got very excited about 2024 while I was writing it. I also got so heavily into 2024 that I kept forgetting what year it was. So I keep like writing the date and forgetting that it's 2023. And every time I do that, I'm like, I've got a bonus year. It's brilliant.
I love that. I mean, it also feels like many have said that 2024 is a quite pivotal year. I don't know, because I usually look at big things that are happening a little bit ahead, but still I've been focusing on the here and now. But what do you see in 2024 that is important for us as a collective happening?
There's so many things. I mean, it would be impossible to go into all of it now. And like you, I do like to focus on what's in front of me. But I've got very excited about the big total eclipse, basically. So if you live in North America, particularly, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun in April, which is pretty exciting. And it's probably going to be one of the most watched celestial events in history, I would say, like if you count everyone who will watch it online. So yeah, that's pretty exciting, but there's lots of other exciting stuff to do, of course.
That's amazing, a total eclipse. I can only remember when I was a child that we had, I think, a partial one that was viewable here in Sweden, and I remember we had like these weird glasses. Maybe you remember that. I think in the UK it could have been visible too.
There was another one a few years ago that I do remember watching. Can't remember when exactly it was, but I remember watching online.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this one's going to be quite big because it happens to be in the path of so many people.
And it's definitely an auspicious time. And which date, when was that next year?
So it's the 8th of April.
Okay, so we have another year to go. And then, because I think it's also from an energetic perspective, many people who work with like other bigger things that are happening celestially and energetically, something is happening around next year, what I've understood, and we can feel it. It's been a build up, like we're already in it, but maybe something big on a bigger scale. But how will people be able to tap into the astrology through your new beautiful illustrated book? Like, what is the how did you create it so it's easy to use as well?
Yeah, a big thing for me whenever I'm talking about astrology is just to keep it quite simple, because I think it's all very well for people who've spent years studying astrology to, you know, it's very easy for people to make it sound more complicated than it needs to, and on a sort of need to know basis. I've set it out in months, in astrological seasons. There's a little rundown of that astrological season and how you can tap into the energy of that astrological season. Then there's simple explanations of why it's kind of better to read horoscopes for your rising sign than your sun sign, or how perhaps you might read both for your sun sign and your rising sign. And then just lots of stuff on new moons and full moons and eclipses and, you know, major planetary movements, but all just laid out so it's relevant for the reader. So you'll always be it throughout the book, you'll always be able to just look quickly at what it means for your sign, what it means for you. Just that's, you know, because that's what we're all looking for, what it means for us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's lovely. It's a great it's also a great gift and something that you can give away to someone else that maybe wants to. I really love giving, even to friends that are not at all into what the work that we're doing. And it's always fun to give something that is an easy thing to get into, maybe a oracle card or something, to just invite something new into their lives. And I recently had episode about the connection between astrology and psychology. So psychology is more like mainstream and we understand it. So you can always think that even if you're giving astrological tools, it you can always relate it to the psychology and also just being more mindful and tuning into the present moment as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's the main thing. Like, no one has to like fully believe in astrology or believe that the, you know, movements of the planets are impacting them. But what it can be, even if you are a little bit skeptical, is just a really, really beautiful and useful guidance tool to help you kind of understand yourself a bit better and understand other people better. And I think that's what's really nice about it for me, and why I find astrology so magical, is because it just, I feel like it explains a lot. And you know, once I sort of really started to understand how the astrological seasons work and how they move through, you know, my own personal birth chart, you know, I realized so many things, like, you know, the same things generally were happening to me at similar points in the year. And when I looked at it, it all matched up with the astrology of how the sun was moving through those different areas of my life. So yeah, it is, it's magical. And you can go surface level and you can go deep, and all of that is, you know, this book just really aims to be accessible, basically. So accessible, but with lots of information, and something you can like dive deeply into if you want to, or just flick through and get a bit of guidance when you need it.
I love that. And how can people get the book?
I think it's just in all the usual places. So just search for The Astrology Almanac by me. And yeah, it's on Waterstones. I think it's for sale in America. I'm not 100% sure exactly where it's for sale, but I'm pretty sure America, Australia, like all those kinds of obvious places, it will be on sale there. And you can get it on Amazon. And if you really can't find it, send me a message. I don't know. I'll get you one. I'll send you one.
I'm sure it will be searchable. And I'll put the link to your website also in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for you. It looks beautiful and colorful and also fun, because it could be for anyone in any age to just tap into it in a fun and easy way. And Speaking about astrology, we decided to talk about the upcoming Virgo season, although we're at this moment, as we're speaking, not close to that point, but it's an important shifting point, I think, for so many people after the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and things have, you know, Cancer season gives us that rest and replenishment, and Leo connecting a lot to the heart and opening us to really tap into that solar and heart joy, because it's also like a really young energy. So if we're going to talk about that shift between, so we've moved from like water and fire into earth, what is the essence of the season, and how do you experience this season?
So I'm a massive fan of Virgo season. I always have been my entire life. I'm Virgo rising. So I think for me, it like really represents a kind of fresh start, and like, you know, evolution of the self type thing. And I think for, you know, Virgo is very much a sign that's associated with kind of daily routines and the day to day and health and well-being and work to an extent, you know, kind of sort of getting your ducks in a row. It's kind of like a sensible, right, we've had summer, we've had all that fun of Leo season, now it's time to like sharpen your pencils and do your best handwriting in your new school exercise book. It's that kind of feel, like, you know, get the health kit going again, you know, stop drinking rosé at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, whatever whatever people are needing, it brings with it that real fresh start sense, I think. So that's what I look forward to about it every year. I love that back to school feeling, basically, that you get in September. So when does back to school happen in Sweden? Is that September as well?
Well, here the elementary school is a little bit before that, but coming back to university usually is. So it's a little bit, let's say a week before Virgo season begins. Yeah, school begins for children, and then the university starts a week after. So it's definitely the time when people have been on vacation and coming back, and you start, and we really start feeling a shift directly also in the weather. Actually, now it's becoming warmer and warmer. So last year in the end of August, it was really, really warm, and then September it started to
So I think that's what's nice about it, is really, it is that kind of fresh start. Like, I always think of September as like a mini new year, really. Like, I don't know, it feels like new year. I guess that's because I've been like institutionalized by academia for years. But I love it. I love that feeling. And this September, we will have quite a few retrogrades going on. There's a Mercury retrograde, I think. Let me just double check those dates. Will there be Mercury retrograde? I think the first couple of weeks of September is Mercury retrograde. Yeah, until the 15th. So that's kind of another thing that makes it quite a, people freak out a little bit about Mercury retrograde, but Mercury retrograde is actually like a real sort of, you know, reboot, rethink, revisit, all the re words. Like, it's a really good opportunity to be like, right, where am I going? What do I want to do? What are my goals for the rest of the year? How am I going to make this happen? And I think we'll all be able to tap into that really at the beginning of September as well, this sense of really reassessing where we're going, why we're doing it, what we want to achieve.
And I actually like Mercury retrograde as a time where I consciously don't rush through things. I think about it, and it always helps, because I've seen, if I would have taken like a step or decision in the middle of that point, then it wouldn't have gone so well. So it really, it's a very important time. And I also associate Virgo so much, since it's the earth element and the archetype of the Divine Mother and Mother Mary, and that whole aspect, and the healer. Like, for me, it's so beautiful, because sometimes we connect, especially usually, like Virgo as a very mind activating sign, and thinking about that logical part, but it's actually very grounded and earthly, and yin in that way. It's very grounded, you know, as we said, we moved from the waters and the fire into the earthy, and it's so connected to the goddess and the portals that are opening around that time. First, we have like at least in our tradition, in August, the portal of desire and that whole desire mystery, and then the equinox as a conception time leading up to the birth at the solstice. So it's a lot of points happening. And also this year we will be, I think that Venus will still be retrograde as we're going into the Virgo season. She goes retrograde. Yeah. And that's important, because it activates the Leo star point, which is, it will give us a lot of that Leo energy, but how do we ground it, and how do we like step into that aspect of the feminine? Because it also represents the Leo star will be a morning star, so it's a lot of yang. And then in the Virgo season, we go into that other aspect. I don't know, how do you connect these?
Yeah, aspects? I mean, that is also one of my favorite things about Virgo. I think Virgo is quite a misunderstood, like the cliches of Virgo make it quite a misunderstood sign, but Yeah, I always say like Virgo is a real earth mother type sign, like and that when I think about Virgo, I do often think, you know, that that's what it's about. So the whole sort of the work and the routines and the day-to-day life, it's kind of about looking after yourself as well. So it's like, how can you set up a system that works for you to meet, you know, make sure you mother yourself, almost like make sure you're drinking enough water and you're eating right and just going back to basics of like cooking good food. That all feels very Virgo to me, just a real, basically just like a real health reboot in September, I think feels like a really good thing. And I know that's a something that a lot of people are looking for after the summer, because summer can be a real time of indulgence, which is wonderful, but we can't have that all the time.
Exactly. No, it's so true. I love what you said. So there are somehow, like in mainstream, since things are communicated in a very, as we said, simple way, which is good, but sometimes a narrative around certain things like the Mercury retrograde, or like, mm-hmm. oh, Virgo or Gemini even. And actually, I was really rejecting those two as well, like the Mercurial. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out, like, you know, many years later when I looked into it, I have so much like Gemini aspects, because I always related so much to that motherly energy of the Cancer and then the heart mm-hmm. energy of the Leo. But actually with many aspects in Gemini, I also connect with the Virgo season a lot and the Mercury yeah. phases.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's weird how certain star signs get like a really bad reputation. And Gemini is one of the worst. And I do think it's Donald Trump and Boris Johnson's fault, probably, because they're both Gemini. they have done nothing for the cause of the Geminis. But my midheaven is in Gemini, oh. Which is, you know, your kind of like legacy, your sort of career, what you're here to do, I guess, is a simple way of explaining it. And that combined with being Virgo rising is just like you were put here on earth to be a writer or to mm-hmm. tell a story. Like, basically, I used to be a bit like Virgo, Gemini, but yeah, I've got a lot of it going on in my chart too.
Yeah, and it's very very perfect for the work that you're doing and everything that you're creating in life. I wanted to connect that earth topic to the topic of Jupiter in Taurus, which has just recently begun, right? And how that energy, how would you say that this is also connecting us somehow to that earthly aspect and that aspect of the divine feminine, and the, like, it's somehow it's been very necessary, right, to have that energy in the collective.
Yeah, it's a nice place for it to be, I think. Yeah, it just kind of, Taurus is another, I mean, Taurus is my moon sign, and it's mm-hmm. that's another lovely earth sign, I think, you know, all themes around indulgence and kind of beauty and, you know, stability and building something from the ground up. And yeah, I think it's a really nice place for Jupiter, which is obviously the planet of luck and fortune, to be in at this time, definitely. Yeah, it's really, it feels like a nice place for it to be.
Yeah, especially as it expands, and we had this expansion in Aries, and then now going yeah. into that feminine. And in one way, I see, so you could, if you look in history and mythology, all of the archetypes can be embodied in the divine feminine as well as the divine masculine. It can be in both, but since I focus a lot on the divine feminine, I can see that all of the signs is the different faces of the goddess, because she is in so many faces, like she has so many faces and so many names. So it's like different parts, and we can't reject anything, even if like the Aries has been expanded, like that whole passionate, fierce archetype has been important. And now coming back to the body and like also nurturing the planet. We talked about that in an episode as well, like the focus, like how can we forget about that? Because it's like our, we're so, we are connected, we are part of the earth, we're not disconnected, we, our roots are not visible, but we're always connected to her.
Yeah, that's a really good Taurus theme, isn't it? Like kind of the beauty of nature and food, everything to do with food and looking after yourself and the planet. Yeah, this whole sort of self-care is a very Taurus theme. And I think what else is kind of nice about Jupiter and Taurus is this idea of giving real like weight and structure and like making, you know, it's all very well to have big ideas and big dreams and, but to actually make something quite solid around those, like it's a Taurus, Jupiter and Taurus feels a bit like having a plan and actually making, actually working out how you're going to make something happen. So you're expanding the magic and the luck and the fortune, but through real practical steps, which sometimes we miss the practical because we're too busy kind of thinking about our big ideas and how wonderful it's going to be.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what are the main tips and tools for Virgo season that you feel is important for the listeners to think about, if it's a ritual, ceremony, or just a routine?
I mean, it's hard to say because I think it would be really personal and individual to any one person. And also, you know, it's good to like look up where that means, you know, where Virgo is in your personal chart. But I would just say in general themes, it just feels like a really good time to, you know, take stock of where you are and maybe just create a little vision of where you want to go. And you could do that, like, I don't know, just by doing a bit of journaling or writing down a kind of, one of my favorite journaling practices is just writing the words like, in my best life, I wake up and there's a whole chapter in my book where I do this. And then just, you know, seeing a sort of stream of consciousness writing, seeing what comes up for you. And you can get real clues if you just allow yourself to kind of do this sort of free writing about what you're trying to call into your life and being really real and really honest with yourself about what you want. Because sometimes the things we think we want aren't what we actually want. Like often the things we actually really want deep down are really a lot more simple, and you know, it's easy to kind of come up with these big sort of sometimes quite materialistic ideas about things that we want out of life, but actually often all we really want is time and enjoyment and pleasure and spending time with people we care about. Those kind of things can, when it comes down to it, that's usually what you actually want. So I think Virgo season feels like a real reset, like get clear on what you want and get your priorities right and make sure that you are not at the bottom of your own priority list, because it's very easy to end up there instead of, especially if you have, you know, caring responsibilities. But yeah, as if you have children, it can be easy to put yourself at the bottom of the pile. But if you're packing them off back to school in September, it's a really good time to start like prioritizing your health. And I think health and well-being, those things really, like looking after yourself, mothering yourself, health, well-being, getting a daily routine together, all of those things feel like brilliant things to do in Virgo season.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That's very beautiful. And I love that you brought up, you know, talking about synchronicities. Today I drew the card of Lakshmi in the Divine Feminine Oracle of Megan Watterson, and it said, like, because she's so connected to abundance and like this lushness, but it's actually something, it's not about like the material abundance, it's like you said, what is filling yourself up from yourself, and luxury is like having time and having health and like all of these things that we take for granted, and sometimes we forget about it, how important it is. So yeah, I love that you shared that. And while you were sharing that, for I wanted to draw a card from my healing oracle, what could be focused on during this time. And actually, it's connected to our thoughts and our thought patterns. So it's the card that says, my thoughts are empowering and loving. And it's so connected, you know, it's connected to the mental body. So it's definitely connected to the mercurial and the Virgo side of it. And it's still a soft card, you know, when you look at it. And feeling
it looks like a Virgo card, like it looks like a maiden, a healing maiden.
Definitely, yeah. It was inspired by a goddess archetype and the lotus, and like opening up that space and the waters as well, like cleansing and clearing. So I really love that, and I wanted to ask a final question because I connect the keyword to you so strongly, and you use it in your work, the word magic, and I wanted to ask what that means for you.
That's such a good question. I almost wish I'd prepared an answer. I do use the word magic a lot because I think it sort of kind of sums up a lot of things for me. Like it's hard to explain what the word means to me because it is quite a magical, it's almost like something I can't quite grasp onto. But that's what magic is. It's the, you know, the unknown, the cosmic, the celestial, the, you know, that feeling you have, that sort of intuitive feeling that everything's going to work out. And just the, you know, for me, really, magic is everywhere. I mean, I can turn like drinking a cup of tea into a magical experience. Like that's my thing. And find the magic in anything. I think I can even like find the magic in just taking the bins out. I'm like, this is a magical experience because I out with the old, you know, I'm like, I'm creating space, and that's magical. So yeah, I do use the word magic a lot, and I think probably everyone should use the word magic a lot and get a bit more magic into their lives, however they might want to make that happen. There are lots of ways in my book. That sort of idea of making life feel magical, even if, you know, you're not living like an Instagram perfect existence, your life can still be magical. You can still find the magic in it by looking for it, really.
And what you're saying is also how important it is to become present, because it's in the presence that you can see the magic, you can see the synchronicities, you can see the, like, experience everything to the fullest in the present moment. So it's really inspiring. And yeah, I recommend everyone to check Emma's books out. Congratulations on your new book and almanac. It's going to be amazing for those that use it, and beautiful like illustrations, and easy thing to start using if you're new to astrology as well, but also if you already have insights. Is there anything else you would like to share, or how can people find you?
So they can find me on Instagram. That's probably the best place to find me, which is Emma Howarth Writes. And I've got a website, emmahowarth.com. I mean, you'll have all this in your notes. And I've got like a free newsletter people can sign up to, where I'm going to be doing some nice like subscriber only sessions soon. Mm-hmm. So do I have anything else? I don't know. I mean, I want to say congratulations to you for your amazing oracle deck. I love it. I've been using it. It's brilliant. And you can really feel the, you know, the time and energy and love that's gone into it. I think sometimes you pick something up and it has an energy of its own, which might sound a bit weird, but it feels like a really nice deck to use. So I would recommend everyone goes to get that.
Thank you so much, Emma. I really appreciate that. And yeah, thank you for your work, everything that you shared today. And I hope to talk to you very soon again. And thank you to everyone who's listened today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.